Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. And on the show today, to begin the show, we are going to talk about the past, the present, and the future of Milwaukee's iconic plant conservatory, the Mitchell Park Domes. And a couple of guests for you today. With us from the domes, Doris Mackey, Mitchell Park Domes Director. She was appointed in 2019. She leads the facilities, operations, and seasonal shows. Doris, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, really happy to have you with us. And with us as well, Justine Miller, horticulturist for the Desert Domes Arid Collection. And Justine, welcome to you.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be here.
I'm looking forward to talking with you both, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. And as you listen in, by the way, have you visited the domes? What do you enjoy most about it? What questions do you have about caring for all of those plants? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Doris, let's start with you. Tell us what you do as director of the domes.
All right. I love that question. Yes, like you said, I've started here in August of 2019. So I've been at the domes for a little bit of over 6 years now. Such a pleasure for me. I have also been part of Milwaukee County Parks since 2008. So my career with parks led me here to the domes. And I currently lead a group of about 12 full-time employees, as well as 6 to 8 seasonal employees. There's two teams, the horticultural team. Justine is part of that team. There is also the visitor team. So it's kind of like sometimes we call front of the house, back of the house. Horticultural team is in charge of all plant care, the rotating exhibits. We also have a greenhouse complex that is attached to the domes. So sometimes you might not see it if you're coming and staying in the front parking lots. But if you come a little bit further behind the domes is the greenhouse complex, and that is 6 growing greenhouses, which we manage. And that's where we do all the magic in growing plants. And there is also another greenhouse space that is a rental space for private rentals. If you ever think of weddings at the domes and holiday parties at the domes, that's a space that is used for that. The visitor team is the team that you see when you enter to visit us. Those are all the people that work with admissions, and also sometimes special events during public hours, and all the permits, the photo permits and wedding ceremonies. So I lead both of those teams and do everything I can to make sure they have the resources to keep the domes beautiful and the visitors happy when they come and visit us.
Yeah, you got a lot going on there. That's for sure. And Justine, you're one cog in that wheel. Tell us about your role and responsibilities.
Yeah, so I have been here at the domes for almost 5 years now. I'm the curator of the Arid Dome, so take care of all of the plants in that dome, as well as adding both seasonal and permanent collections. Most recently, we developed a new bed representing a new continent in the Arid Dome, and that's Southwestern Asia. So right now, the Arid Dome shows plant communities from 5 different continents, everything except for Europe and Antarctica. So we try to show plants kind of grouped by country or by continent to kind of show what they might look like in the wild. So I take care of that dome. And on the other side of the spectrum, I'm also responsible for our new paludarium, which is a bog style garden, which is much, much wetter than the Arid Dome, which we actually just introduced yesterday into our lobby. So that features a bunch of different carnivorous plants. We had a carnivorous plant display before, which was only able to display terrestrial carnivorous plants, but the new one also has epiphytic, aquatic, and completely submerged carnivorous plants as well. So pretty excited about that new addition too.
You don't want anybody strolling through the bogs then with the carnivorous plants.
No, they can come right in here and stay dry and check it out right now.
Just teasing a little bit. You know, I'm going to admit something to you. I've loved the domes. I've visited, you know, a number of times. But I go back. The first time the domes started was about the time that I started here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I think Desert Dome, if I'm not mistaken, it opened in 1967.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's when I started here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So I've got a long time. But there's a history of this area, of the domes area, the Mitchell Park domes, that goes back long before that. Doris, are you know, what are the, there was an earlier park that the domes kind of replaced.
Right. Yes. Originally, there was a horticultural conservatory in the park already that had been in place for a number of years. And when it was time to replace it, that's where the dream of the domes kind of started. And Donald Grieve was the local architect who won the design competition. And then construction of the domes began in 1959. And you were mentioning the Desert Dome, which was the second one. The first one to open was the Show Dome.
Yeah.
And that was in December of 1964. And then it goes to the Tropical Dome, 1966. So then the Desert Dome that you were mentioning is the last one. Is that correct, Justine? The Desert Dome was the last one to open in 1967. So there is a lot of history, even before the domes, of having a horticultural destination and oasis in Mitchell Park, in the heart of Milwaukee.
Yeah, great thing for the city of Milwaukee. I mean, the domes are a lot, such an iconic place for people and a place to really be proud of, I think. If I'm not mistaken, even Lady Bird Johnson, president's wife, was in town to dedicate them, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
back in the 60s.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, the facility was dedicated by First Lady, Mrs. Lady Bird Johnson. So, yeah, that took place here.
So the design and construction of the domes, the architect, what a visionary he was.
Certainly, yeah, certainly. At that time, it was a modern marvel, as it's been called. You know, it still is.
It still is.
We still want it to be, because look at the domes. I mean, people, you know, not only is a horticultural oasis, it's also an architectural marvel and something so distinctive in the Milwaukee skyline. We do have visitors that come to visit us, and they do not know that we are a horticultural conservatory. They just come because they have seen them from the freeway, and they're, what is that? It is amazing. We want to be there. So they come, and they're at the fee booth, and they just said it looks so beautiful, but we don't know what's inside. So they love it even more once they tour and they know what it is. But that's definitely.
Yeah. And there's touring, and as you were alluding to, there are so many events. I mean, I was part of an event myself. I'm trying to remember the year now. I've forgotten the year, but it's a while back. But I was. We did an evening show at the domes. I and Melinda Myers. Who you may or may you're smiling.
Yes, of course. We know Melinda.
Everybody knows her. We had a marvelous time there, and I suppose it's been a way to weddings and events like that are way sort of ways to bring additional monies into the program.
Yeah, that is true. And just mentioning Melinda, she is Melinda Meyer is such a good friend of the Domes, such a great advocate for the work that we do. She definitely is helping us bring the word out in the community in the work that we do in the Domes and joining us in what is the future of the Domes. But in terms of events, yes, you're correct. There's a lot of special events and private events. We actually just had a fantastic event this past weekend, the All Scale Train Exhibit. And that's an event that has grown. We have the annual train show is taking place right now in the Show Dome. So when you come to visit us, you'll see four different, tracks and trains running through the beautiful plants. But we also had trains in different exhibitors, about 24 different exhibitors that were in the lobby and in Greenhouse 7 that I was saying that's the additional event space. So there were trains everywhere, and that is such an awesome event for the community. Over almost, we have about 7,000 people in 2 days coming to visit the Domes. So that's really great, and we thank everyone who came and had fun with us, because we certainly did. And, there's more events coming. There'll be an event coming up soon in March, and then Art in the Green. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Art in the Green. That is a 2-day event in April. We have a lovely celebration in October, Dia de los Muertos. And Justine is a very big part of that, because that takes place in the Desert Dome. And that's also so important for our community, because it's a lovely event to celebrate the community we live on here in Mitchell Park in the near south side of Milwaukee. So, yes, events is also part of what we do. And we love
them. Talking today with Doris Mackey, Mitchell Park Domes Director, and Justine Miller, horticulturist for the Desert Domes Arid Collection. Questions for them or comments, maybe a word about your own visits, what you liked, or maybe where other questions you may have about the dome itself. Are the domes themselves, give a call to number 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. In the second hour of the show today, we'll talk with the editors of a new book. It's titled Living Roots, and it's an anthology on the promise of perennial food. So we're looking forward to that. Right now, we're taking a look at the Mitchell Park Domes with its director, Doris Mackey, and the horticulturist for the Desert Domes Arid Collection, Justine Miller. And you can call in at 800-642-1234, email to talk@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Susie in Manitowoc, what's on your mind? Thank you for calling.
I just have a really fun comment. Thank you for taking the call. Okay. Several years ago, my husband Jim and I directed the Manitowoc Two Rivers YMCA Boy Choir. We took our choir to sing, to visit at the domes, and ask if we could sing there, and they said yes. So the boys sang in the temperate dome.
Oh, I'll bet that was beautiful.
It was so much fun and so memorable. It was so long ago, I wonder how the boys remember it now, but it was a blast. It's like we felt so special.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, Susie. Doris, you probably weren't around, or Justine, neither one of you, when Susie, it sounds like it was more than 6 years ago. Is there music as part of the domes on occasion? Obviously there was.
Yes, in the rays, we do have most of our music and performers, we do have a lot of events in the holidays. During the holiday show, that's where we do have choirs. We have welcomed different choirs and different performers. So that's when you can expect to see the most. And then some other events that we do after hours, and Milwaukee Domes Alliance, who does events with us, they have performers as well. So yes, there's still music at the domes.
Susie, thanks again for calling. Carol in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Say, I grew up in Brookfield, so Milwaukee was kind of my home city, and the domes were always something to be proud of, and it was always exciting when we were driving by on the expressway to peer out the window and see the domes. And when I heard last June that Milwaukee committed $30 million in capital funding for the restoration of the domes, I thought Milwaukee did the right thing. So I just wanted to thank Larry for featuring the domes today, and I love hearing from Doris Mackey and Justine Miller today on what's happening there today.
Oh, Carol, thank you so much. And you sort of lead us right into some additional conversation here. There's money coming through. Let's get the background on this. I mean, it costs a lot of money.
True. It does. it certainly does.
I think of water, I think of heat. And the backdrop of this is that funding had sort of not kept up with need for talk about that a little bit, Doris.
Yeah, that is correct. And you probably, first of all, I want to say thank you to Carol for mentioning that, because we also think that Milwaukee County did the right thing in allocating $30 million to the restoration of the domes. And that is in partnership with the Milwaukee Domes Alliance, who is leading the campaign for the Domes Reimagined plan, which is the future of the domes. But Larry, you're correct. It takes a lot of resources, and in those resources, of course, is funding money to maintain the domes, to keep the doors open, the lights on, and the plants watered. So yes, and there's been deferred maintenance for the facility, and that is something that you can see if you come and visit us today, and you come here on a rainy day, and you will know that the glass needs to be replaced, right? Because there's a lot of leaks, more than the plants like, and Justine can attest more about that. Happening in her dome. So yes, the domes do need to be restored. It is time, and that's what we're heading, and we're excited about that path.
Oh, I would imagine. So Justine, maybe talk about structural problems that may complicate what you have to do in the desert domes.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, the desert dome, especially this time of year when it's pretty cold, everything likes to stay very dry. And so that is where we run into a lot of trouble in the winter, especially, is when we get these major snow events or sometimes rain events and get all the leaking into the desert dome. Most of those plants are sleeping this time of year. They've gone dormant. And so the combination of the cool temperatures and then the moisture in the soil can really cause some trouble with root rot. And unfortunately, we've lost some specimens due to that over the last couple winters.
Isn't there, as I'm thinking about this, I would assume that over the course of the year that the conditions in the desert dome, they need to be changed. Like right now, I'm sure that you're not watering very much, and things are probably cooler, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of people get very surprised when they walk into the desert dome this time of year, and they're like, oh, it's cold in here. I would have thought the desert would be hot. But, you know, just like our Wisconsin plants, many desert plants go through seasonal changes, and we do keep it pretty cool in the wintertime. So we keep it around 60 degrees max in the winter, and that allows some of the North American species to kind of go dormant. And it also kind of wakes up the South African species. So you'll see a lot of aloes actually flowering this time of year because they prefer to grow in the cooler season.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And visitor, do you get a lot of questions? I mean, are you there to answer questions of people when they come through?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we get a lot of interesting questions.
What's the most common?
Oh, honestly, the most common is probably what is the blue ball hanging in my dome? We do have this big blue ball hanging, and in the daytime it becomes kind of confusing to figure out what it is, but at night we light it up and it becomes the moon, and you can actually see it from outside. It's pretty magical at night, but a lot of people can't quite figure it out during the day, which is reasonable.
How many plants do you care for in the dome?
Oh, wow, that's a big question. I think the at last count, it was around, it was over 800.
Yes.
Individuals.
Yeah. I would say that's about right for the entire conservatory. For
my dome, actually.
Oh, just for your dome? I thought it was, we had something in the thousands then for the entire mm-hmm. conservatory.
Oh, man. So the placement and the kinds of, and let's just zero in on the desert dome as long as we're talking about it. You've got all of these different areas. How are those determined? And I mean, there's got to be a lot of planning going into this.
Yeah, so I think the idea from the beginning was kind of to try to display different deserts from around the world. But that said, a lot of the specimens, especially the larger specimens, were just kind of plopped around in what we call our oasis. We have a little pond in the desert dome. So as the years went on, previous horticulturists have tried to make the delineation more apparent. So we've really tried to have a Madagascar collection in one area and then a South African collection in another area. And it actually goes down to, once you hit North America, you can actually see a few different individual deserts. So we have the Sonoran, the Baja Desert, and the Chihuahuan Desert all represented individually. But because this has been kind of an ongoing process over many kind of generations of horticulturists, every now and then you'll see a palm or something that isn't quite in the right spot.
Oh, we just got an email. Does that moon thing do anything for the desert plants? Do they need that to signify it's night for the cycles or something?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I get that a lot. But no, it's actually just aesthetic. It's just kind of for the ambiance for our evening events.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mary in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Larry. It's just a comment that I was in Chicago last year, and we went to the Lincoln Park domes, and the first plant we saw in the fern dome with all the ferns, it's tropical, was a large, very large, right up to the ceiling plant with these long pods hanging on it that looked like sausages. And the docent who showed us all the plants and knew everything, she said, well, this plant has a mate, and it's in the Mitchell Park domes in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we were pretty tickled about that. And I don't know the name of the plant, but she was amazed that we were from Wisconsin, my sister and I, and that we had, you know, been to the Mitchell Park domes. So it was just a neat event.
Oh, a neat event. Thanks, Mary. Well, what was you guys know what that plant was? Justine,
yeah, she had it. It's called the sausage tree, based on those fruits that she was describing. And yes, Amanda in our tropical dome actually trades flowers with someone from Chicago, and they pollinate each other's plants. And that's the only way we're able to get the fruit, is they need to cross-pollinate. So it's a pretty cool connection that we have.
You know, just thinking about trees, I've been to the many, as well as to the Mitchell Park domes. I've also been to the, I guess you'd call it a dome. It's a dome at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. And there I noticed, I asked somebody about the trees in there because they grow pretty tall. And I'm thinking, it made me think, you got to do a lot of trimming. I mean, they have to cut the tops off or whatever they do for that old brick. But it also, as I'm thinking about this, if you aren't pruning or doing something, you're going to be shading out. I mean, can you talk about that a bit?
Yes. So there is a lot of pruning that goes on here, mostly in the tropical dome, as you might imagine,
right,
as that's the collection that grows the fastest and is the most dense. And so you're right. They will keep growing and outgrow their space without the pruning, and they do shade out a lot of the understory. So in order to try to get as much diversity and different levels of plants as we can in the domes, we do have to prune regularly. And in the tropical dome, we do this twice a year. And then in the other two, we do it once a year. And we do this by renting a giant lift. So we have to get up in the lift and prune that way. And it's a pretty big event. Usually about half of each dome is closed as it's being pruned, but a lot of people like to watch the process, and it is quite an event to see some huge trees getting pruned. So it's kind of not one of the events that we advertise, certainly, but a lot of people are interested in watching that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm wondering about water too. How is the amount of water? How's it all regulated? What's the, you know, what do we, if I went downstairs and looked in the basement, shall we say, what would I find down there?
Oh, so we do have quite a huge cistern. I don't remember off the top of my head how many gallons it holds. But that's where we, have our fertilizers. So every, I would say 3 to 6 months, we have to fill this gigantic cistern with just bags and bags and bags of fertilizer. And we actually use a large ore to dissolve it and then pour it in. As far as the watering goes, a lot of people are surprised to hear that we actually hand water everything. We don't have any kind of irrigation set up. Everything is hand watered. So as you might imagine, the tropical dome gets the most water, so it gets watered almost every single day in there. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the desert dome, I haven't watered the whole collection in there in over a month. So keep it pretty dry over the whole winter. And then once we get around to summer, I usually water once a week in the summertime. And then the show dome, of course, is somewhere in between, depending on what show and the time of season that we've got.
So you're doing this by hand. So your arms must get pretty good, strong. I imagine those in the tropical dome have pretty strong arms. I mean, are you carrying, you know, typical sprinkling cans?
We do use about 100-foot hoses.
Okay.
So thankfully, yeah, we have different taps throughout the domes that we can hook up to. So we've got that for us, but it's in the desert dome, there is a lot more spot watering. So you might see me walking around with a watering can.
And I'm wondering, is there a collection area? I'm just kind of interested in this part of it. I mean, do you collect rainwater, for example, or is that not, go ahead and talk about that.
So we do collect rainwater off of the roofs of all of our greenhouses, and that gets held in a separate cistern that all of our propagation houses run almost 100% on rainwater. And then our carnivorous plants also get to benefit from that because they can't handle tap water. They can't handle water with a lot of dissolved minerals, so they get the rainwater as well. So the whole production part of the facility is run on rainwater.
So it's not you're not taking from the municipal supply to any to a great extent that somebody might imagine, I guess is what I was getting to.
Yeah, I think in the conservatory part is primarily City of Milwaukee water. And in the greenhouses, we use this sky harvester. It's a rain harvesting system, and we're pretty fortunate to have that. Of course, the greenhouse complex is much, it's a much newer facility. That facility opened, I believe it was 2013, and compared to the domes that are over 60, and I believe the original design of the domes was meant to harvest some rainwater. But, you know, due to some of the deferred maintenance issues that we see, that that's not currently, you know, how it's being used. So we don't have that harvester in the dome side.
Yeah, I was thinking probably, and somebody had mentioned in a note that wondering about the huge rain event that occurred, when was it, last summer? What'd you get,
right,
15,
August.
14 inches or something like that? I wonder what impact that had on the domes.
So luckily we were not impacted in any sorts of like flooding events. So that was not an issue for us. And then for the, I'm not sure at what stage we were in the sky harvester, if we were already full, but we could accumulate and be able to accommodate quite a bit of water. I think it's 80,000 gallons of water. I don't know, Justine, do you have more accurate numbers on that?
That sounds familiar, but I can't confirm that.
Yeah, but okay. In any case, we would have been able to gain quite a bit of water from that rain event. We, you know, the 80,000 gallons is what the maximum that we can collect.
Mike emailed wondering if you do anything to prevent unwanted plants from being introduced into the domes.
That's a good question. So we do get weeds. A lot of people are surprised that we get weeds inside the domes, but we get them through our venting system. So we do have fans that run and vent out the air. Air gets circulated quite a bit through the facility, and with that come seeds and occasionally insects that through our vents. So yeah, I do get dandelions in the dome sometimes. And we get plants, weeds from different plants, you know, that we bring in. So not a whole lot you can do, but there is a good portion of our time is spent weeding in the domes as well.
And I'm wondering about, so weeding reminds me of people to do the weeding. And I mean, you can't do everything yourself. And you probably, I'm assuming, rely, and you may have mentioned this, but on volunteer help. Do you have a volunteer association or some group that assists in projects at the domes?
Yeah, we do have regular volunteers that come in typically on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they help out a lot with picking up leaf litter and sweeping and doing all the little tasks that, yeah, you're right, we don't necessarily always have time to do. So it's much appreciated help.
I want to talk with you about the future. We were talking about that $30 million and how it's going to be spent, and a little about the community itself, the community that the parks live in, I guess we could say, or the people that are around the parks.
Yeah.
Because I know there's things going on with that. So, but before we do that, just a reminder that we're talking with Doris Mackey, Mitchell Park Domes Director, and Justine Miller, who is the horticulturist for the Desert Domes Arid Collection. I bet if you had a question about a cactus or anything else, she'd be the first to be able to answer it for you. If you want to join in with that or just a question about the domes, the number's 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Next week on Garden Talk, we will be broadcasting live from the PBS Wisconsin Garden and Green Living Expo. I'll be interviewing Brian Huddleston, Dr. Death, and Lisa Johnson. Brian, of course, a plant pathologist, and he's interested in plant diseases, among other things. Lisa Johnson, the Dane County Horticulture Specialist, will be joining us to take your gardening questions. That's the second to the last. I'll have one more live show in front of a live audience, I guess I should say, in June. Late May. And then that'll be the last one. For this one, I think there were 400 tickets. I think they're all pretty much all gone for people to come and see. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to stick around a little afterwards with Jill Nadeau, and we'll answer other questions that may not relate to gardening necessarily. Let's put it that way. We'll talk a little about what's going on with me and so forth. So, looking forward to that next week on Garden Talk. But right now we're taking a look at the Mitchell Park Domes with Doris Mackey, the director there, and Justine Miller, horticulturist for the Domes, Desert Domes Arid Collection. And Patricia in Milwaukee has a comment or question. Let's go there. Patricia, hi.
Aloha, Larry, and aloha to all the people from the Domes. I'm a member of the Domes Alliance, and I was just at the train show and the Wonders of the World, and it is the most incredible show that I have seen in a long time. The Wonders of the World just is so amazing, and they're the Domes' original Arboretum is one that I know of from my childhood days. So I'm just totally thrilled with our Domes and so proud of them. And the people from my family reunion are going to be going to the Domes in August.
Patricia, thank you so much for calling. Patricia said aloha, and Patricia and I spent a week in Hawaii together. Well, there were a lot of other WPR listeners as well. We spent a week on a WPR-sponsored trip to Hawaii. But that train show, obviously, Doris, is a beaut.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, go ahead. It's amazing that you had so many people coming.
Yes, and I just want to say thank you to Patricia for coming to visit us and for being a member of the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. That's just one of the many ways you can support us. But I'm so happy that she enjoyed it and came to visit, and that more of her family are coming. That's pretty much what the Domes are for. It's a place for gathering and making memories and bringing people together. And we love that this could be a place that can do that at the same time as connecting people with nature and teaching in the field of horticulture. So thank you so much.
You know, and the Domes have been going on for around 60 years now. And obviously, over that time, as we've talked about, there's a need for updating. And you, Doris, talked about, you now have $30 million put toward the Dome. But talk about the planning process that took place for that. Because my understanding is that it was quite extensive over several years.
That is correct. Over several many years of planning and researching and collaborating. And we're very, very grateful to the Milwaukee Domes Alliance because, yes, we've said it in the show, Milwaukee County committed to $30 million to the Domes restoration, to the Domes Reimagined project. And a big, big partner of this, we cannot do it without them, we do this together, is the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. So in this name, Milwaukee Domes Alliance is fairly a new name, but this is not a new group. This is a group of friends. You might remember them as the Friends of the Domes. They have been supporters and friends of the Domes for over 30 years for sure, and they continue to do so. And they're the ones that, in partnership with Milwaukee County Parks, envisioned and developed this plan forward, this Domes Reimagine, this future of the domes. And the whole project requires more than the $30 million commitment from Milwaukee County. It's about $140 million project in different phases. And the Milwaukee Domes Alliance will be leading the philanthropic campaign for private donations, as well as seeking additional funding that could be in the form of grants and all kinds of sources, like local or state or even federal funding. So I do want to really mention them again and encourage people to visit their website, MilwaukeeDomes.org. Again, is MilwaukeeDomes.org if you want to learn more about the Domes Reimagine project. And a huge shout out to Krista Beal Diefenbach, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Domes Alliance and leads a phenomenal team and works with us together to keep the domes, the beloved domes, a place in the community, a place for all and for many years to enjoy.
You know, I was looking at some of the plans, or at least in a very broad sense, the plans. So you're looking at freshly programmed and animated domes, of course. And one of the things I liked about it was the power it has to significantly improve the neighborhood quality of life, the education and employment. The Clark Square neighborhood is an opportunity investment zone, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Talk about
yes.
that a little bit.
Yes, and we are very close to that neighborhood community, work with them as well. So, yes, the Domes Reimagine plan not only is focusing on restoring the domes, it's also an opportunity to revitalize Mitchell Park, to bring people to the park to enjoy the conservatory and the park as well. We work with many neighborhood organizations, and Milwaukee Domes Alliance is making sure that we are including our community and our neighbors in the future of the domes. So yes, we do. We're very proud of that. We're very proud of playing such a vital role in our neighborhood and in our community. And our neighbors are so nice to us. They are the ones that, you know, tell us what they like or what we could do better or more. And they're always keeping us safe. And just it's really a lovely community to be in. We really want to be in Mitchell Park. This is the best place for the domes.
Yeah, I think I would definitely agree with that. I was looking. There's probably a new welcome center that's going to be coming in. You're going to have some retail and education and research fund as well, a hub.
Yes, we do have an education center right now, and again, it's led by the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. We have a gift shop as well, so those amenities will be expanded. So it'll be bigger, better. There will also be a new cafe. That is something that I think our visitors are going to love, because they always ask for that. It's not an amenity that we have at the moment. So a new cafe, a new children's area, a new interactive area for kids. And that's also going to be a great, great asset for the visitors to make the visitor experience even better, because this is a place for family. We see a lot of families, especially now with the train show. But not every area is an area where, you know, kids can touch and interact. Imagine Justine's dome, the desert dome. So this, you know, new interactive play area that is designed in the plan for the future of the domes is going to be really great for families.
And I saw a farm-to-table restaurant. I saw food trucks.
Well, yeah, that's always the plan when we think about even special events that we can take outside. And again, and that speaks of including the park and revitalizing the park. Part of the plan does include that additional or bigger space for an education center. And also there's an area here in Mitchell Park, and some of our listeners and visitors might know, known as the Sunken Garden. Mm-hmm. And we did, Mitchell Park did have sunken gardens before, no longer there. But this plan will be using that space as well. And there will be a garden as well there, a boardwalk interactive garden for the community.
And I think a fresh pond and reflecting pool, you know, it sounded, and more pathways. Sounded like there was... There's a lot going on outside the domes as well as within.
Yes, that's true. There's a lot going on outside in the park. So it's a beautiful and exciting path. And the plants, I think if people would like to see some of the renderings and what we're talking about, the Milwaukee Domes Alliance is the website to see that. They do have renderings, and they have more of the details on how this is going to be done in phases. It's going to be phase one, phase two, phase three. It's not going to happen all at once, as you can imagine. But we're very excited for what is coming for the domes and the community.
Magdalena sent an email. She grew up in Milwaukee and loved visiting the domes. And here's an interesting question from her. If you had an unlimited budget, what kinds of things would you want to include in programming for community outreach and or education programs? If money was no object, I guess.
If money was no object, well, there's already a lot of the dreams are included in this plan, but I don't know. We think about the facility space, and maybe that could be incorporated when it's coming. Just a way for the public to be able to experience the conservatory a little bit from above. If there were a spiral staircase or an overlook tower or things like that, that will give the visitor the bird's eye view. That would be one of my wishes. If the budget and the space was not you know, you have to consider the limitations of the space as well and the plants. Justine, do you have favorite?
Maybe I would build the domes taller to support some more mature palm trees or something like that. Have some more landscape scale collections going.
Well, here's an email as we're kind of winding up here. But Lynn in Pewaukee emailed, they visited the domes, Lynn did, when she and her husband, when they were newlyweds living in the Polish flat in Milwaukee, they bought a little jade plant. And it has been a part of their lives for over 40 years, moving Wow. with them from house to house. So they bought that plant, I guess, at the domes. And here Wow. it is 40 years later. And I got to say, Lynn is probably the champion gardener, master gardener, perhaps. And that's a pretty cool legacy for that plant. And I want to thank you both for being mm-hmm. with us today. It's been a real pleasure to learn some more about what's going on with the domes. I'm really excited about as I'm sure you are as well, about what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And it's a treat to be there now, even. So now, don't wait for 10 years. Next time you're in the Milwaukee area, visit the domes. Doris Mackey, Mitchell Park Domes Director, and Justine Miller, horticulturist for the Desert Domes Arid Collection. Thanks to them, and thanks to you for listening, and I hope you stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about a new book out on our food systems. I'm Larry Mealer for WPR News, and you stay with us.